now listening to The After Deck.
What's up, everyone? It's Kate Chastain, and you are listening to After Deck. Man, have I had a crazy week. I flew back from Los Angeles Tuesday morning. I arrived at 6 a.m. because this Saturday, what we've been planning for a year now, was the 40th anniversary gala celebrating Genesis House. We really wanted to go all out. Saturday, it's crazy busy getting the hall set up. The boutique is open, by the way, at this point as well. Luckily, I had my mom and another volunteer, actually three other volunteers, come and man the shop. So then I get back to the boutique at 6 when it closes, and we're all going to use it as our fast change dressing area because the gala started at 7. So I've got my mom there changing into her ball gown. I'm changing into my ball gown. My best friend Will, who owns a hair studio in downtown Melbourne, he zips over after his last client to help me do my hair. But then I remembered it's also my best friend's birthday, and she's coming to the gala. And I meant to get her a cupcake with candles because the band was going to play happy birthday for her. So I said to my mom, Mom, Cha-Cha, that's my mom's name, Cha-Cha, but I call her Mambo. I said, Cha-Cha, I need you to go get a cupcake and candles for Nicole because the band's going to play happy birthday in front of 300 people, and I don't want to be stuck there with nothing to give her. My mom makes a break away from the party. Bless her heart. So kind of her. She's missing the whole party to go run an errand for me. Cha-Cha comes running in the side door with cupcakes, candles. She saved the day. So I put the cupcake down at my feet. But I need to be ready. So I light the three candles we put in the cupcake. By the way, if you guys are ever in a situation where there's no electricity and you're cold, three birthday candles put off a lot of heat. I can attest to that fact. Then Happy Birthday starts playing. Finally, everybody looks over at Nicole, and I give her the cupcake, and I can finally stop working. Saturday night, when I was celebrating my friend Nicole's birthday, I also ended up getting on the phone with our friend Tia, who used to live here. She's in Rincon, Puerto Rico right now, and actually, I used to go live in Rincon, Puerto Rico with Tia after a crazy yachting season. I would need a place to go relax. So it really was a home away from home for me. For quite a few years. So I was really upset to hear about the living conditions that she's facing still now in Puerto Rico after the storm. I mean, let me put it in perspective for you guys. I said, Tia, what's going on? She goes, well, we still have no running water or electricity, which shocked me. What Tia does for a living down in Puerto Rico is she rescues animals because Puerto Rico has a very high stray dog population. So Tia has basically spearheaded this entire movement organization where they take the stray dogs of Puerto Rico, get them vaccinated, get all their papers, and then they find visiting tourists who are there on surf trips, fishing trips, or just because Puerto Rico is so beautiful, and they make them fall in love with these adorable stray dogs and arrange for them to go home back to the States with these people into loving homes. Now, this is where it gets really interesting. So my book, Lucky Charming, if you've seen me on Below Deck, I'm always wearing a horseshoe charm necklace because I really do believe in meaningful coincidences or serendipitous things that happen. I believe in synchronicity. And if this isn't a story that proves it, I don't know what is. So about 4 years ago, I had a dog named Rio. I had rescued Rio. He was kind of like a jealous boyfriend where if I even got off the couch, he would jump up and bite my wrists because he didn't like that I was leaving him. I mean, if he had been 20 pounds heavier, he really could have hurt me. I kept him for a year and a half. I really had my work cut out for me with Rio, but I didn't give up. Then I got a call to go join an amazing yacht. It was the opportunity of a lifetime. And it broke my heart, but I had to take him to a no-kill shelter. And this no-kill shelter was named Halo Animal Rescue. I did my research and I found out that they really do not harm the animals. They just find new homes for them. Well, Tia and I, about 2 days later, I was crying because I missed the dog. I loved the dog. He was just not the most well-behaved dog. And Tia, who is like such an animal lover, was like, let's go get Rio back. So we drive down to Halo Animal Rescue on US 1. And I'm crying now because I just missed the dog. I can see the dog in the back looking at me. It was heartbreaking. And Tia was there sticking up for me like, she loves this dog. Can we please just have the dog back? They're like, we're sorry, it's already been adopted. So we leave, I'm crying the whole way home. That was years ago. Rio found a good home, but I missed that dog. Last summer, I had a really traumatic, unfair thing happen to me in the press. And I needed a dog, I thought, because I just wanted a dog. So every night after work, I would go and look at every animal rescue center in the state of Florida that I could drive to and look for my dream dog. And it was like, for some reason, everybody that I called, I was like, hi, I'm calling about Juicy the Shih Tzu. And they're like, oh, Juicy the Shih Tzu was just adopted. Okay. Oh, hey, I'm calling about Fluffer, the Lhasa Apso mix. Oh, Fluffer has just been adopted. Okay. Why is it taking me so long to find my dream dog? I just want to find my dream dog. I'm driving back from Fort Lauderdale. It's 4 o'clock. And I remembered that Halo Animal Shelter, the one I had dropped Rio off all those years ago, had a cute looking little black scruffy terrier named Tokyo. I know, I'll go to Halo Animal Rescue and I'll stop by to see Tokyo. Maybe that's my dream dog. But I can tell they close at 5 and I'm going to be cutting it close. So I call them. I said, hi, I'm on my way to your shelter. If I get there at 4:59, please don't shut the door. Please let me in. They're like, okay, no worries. We will let you in. So I put the address for Halo Animal Rescue in my maps. And I'm driving up US 1 and the navigational thing says, in 7 miles, please turn left on Miko Road. Which is weird because from when I was at Halo Animal Rescue like 3 or 4 years ago, I remembered it was right on US 1. And now I was being turned back towards the highway the wrong direction, west. I listened to the Bluetooth. I mean, it's technology. So I continue. I'm driving. I am now in a manufactured home neighborhood, very close to the highway and nowhere near where I remembered Halo Animal Rescue Shelter to once be. In 2 blocks, the destination is on your left. I arrive at what the navigation voice was telling me was my destination. There are no signs. There are no barking sounds coming from anywhere. It is just a little simple manufactured home. So now it's like 4:55. And I call the number for Halo Animal Rescue. And I say, hi, it's me again. Did you guys happen to move your location? Because I am in a neighborhood off Miko Road. And they said, no, ma'am. If you turned on Miko Road, you actually passed us. We're south of there, but we'll stay open for you, but you better hurry. And I pull a U-turn and I'm just cursing at my map navigational app. I'm like, really? What are the odds? I mean, this is a freak of nature. I put the right address in. The address is showing. It says Halo Animal Rescue. But for some reason, the dot that says where it should be is in this random neighborhood that I've never been to before. So finally, I make it back to Halo Animal Rescue. And it's in the same location it was 4 years ago. So anyways, I get in there. I meet Tokyo the Terrier. Turns out he's like 13 years old and has a collapsed trachea. And while I did feel bad for the dog, I wasn't ready for that kind of medical responsibility. The next day, I was like so determined. I want to find a dog. So I went on Craigslist. I'd seen pets on Craigslist before, but usually they were only sugar gliders and snakes. But that day, the first listing said, 1-year-old scruffy mix available for adoption, potty trained. So I text the number on the listing. I don't do Craigslist very often, but I have found that sometimes it takes a while for them to respond. But right away, I got a text back like, sure, you can come look at the dog today. What great luck. Okay, great. I text them back, give me your address. And I'm grabbing my purse, my sunglasses, my car keys. I am ready to jump in the car and go see this dog wherever in the world it is. I didn't know where I was about to drive to in the whole entire county, but I was ready. And then they text me back as I put it in my Google Maps and realized that this address was next door to the mystery address Maps had accidentally taken me to just the day before. I mean, goosebumps. So I get in the car and I'm driving back down US 1. I was like, this cannot be happening. But now I'm telling myself, yes, I believe in meaningful coincidences. Yes, this is a crazy coincidence, but I'm not going to just adopt a dog just because of this weird coincidence. I was parked in front of the house right next to where I had just been. And the door opened and out ran a fluffy, scruffy, adorable, sweet, potty-trained dog. And that's the dog I adopted. And because of the whole mix-up from the day before, I decided to name him Halo. Well, then when I was talking to Tia in Puerto Rico, I was like, well, what are you doing with all of your animals? She goes, oh, you'll never guess what. Halo Animal Rescue has spent $15,000 on a plane that they are sending to my friend Tia to pick up 70 dogs and bring them back to their center here in Florida. They are charging $200 adoption fee for all the animals to try and make their money back. but only so that they can send another plane to Puerto Rico. So if any of you guys are looking for a dog, a wonderful dog, please look into Halo Animal Rescue in, I believe it's Vero, Florida. In other news, Sunday, I was very tired and I'm a little embarrassed to say what time I slept until, but let's just say it was past noon. And I wake up ready to record with EJ and I check my email, and apparently the day before he had sent me an email letting me know that he was headed towards the British Columbian Canadian mountains where Wi-Fi was limited. But because I was flash mobbing, birthday candling, store running, victory rolling, resident speech writing, gala planning, I didn't get his email. So now I'm panicking. I am dialing for dollars. I'm texting everybody on the Below Deck cast. Everybody was at dinner or traveling, and I was really starting to get nervous. Like, am I going to interview myself, Halo, anybody? And luckily, Connie from season 3, Motor Yacht Eros, Connie Arias, the deckhand that everyone loved, she was available and enthusiastic to be my podcast guest this week. So that, surprise, is who I'm going to be talking to. So I really appreciate her taking the time to chat with me, and I think you guys will enjoy our conversation because she's hilarious. I'm being joined by Connie, the deckhand for Motor Yacht Eros, which I'm sure you guys will all remember as probably being one of the strongest, if not the strongest, female deckhand Below Deck's ever had. And I know that Captain Lee would love to work with her again. How are you, Connie?
I'm doing so well.
Yeah, what's up with you these days?
I stayed on boats, but I chose the route to kind of freelance so I can actually live at home and work on boats at the same time. I have a little owner's trip coming up this week, actually, to go deliver the boat to the boat show, which should be fun because there's always fun parties and big boats there. So kind of just trying to pack and get my life together.
Well, thanks for taking the time to talk with me, because that sounds like a lot you've got going on coming up very soon. You guys are going down to the boat show. Does that start soon? I always forget. It's the end of October, right?
Yeah, I think it's the end of October, beginning of November. But they also decided last minute that they wanted us all in tan shorts. And I have no idea where any of those are. So I went just now to the store and bought the most ugly shorts you've ever seen in your life. And now I'm pulling out my sewing machine at night and I'm literally sewing my tan shorts for tomorrow morning.
To make them shorter?
Well, yeah, they're like to my knees, and I'm not trying to like trying to get picked up or anything, but I'm also not trying to look like that either.
No, I get it. I went to Catholic school. I know how you gotta get out the staple gun and the sewing machine every now and then for a uniform. But yeah, if it's they're ugly khaki shorts, then it sounds like a boat uniform to me. Sounds like you did pretty good there. I don't really love boat uniforms. So you are going to be taking this boat down to the Fort Lauderdale for the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show from the Port Canaveral.
Yeah, we're leaving tomorrow at, like, I think 8 a.m. It's basically just a trip to kind of get to know these owners, and we're going to make a couple stops in Fort Pierce and West Palm, kind of do, like, 4 to 5 hours a day, depending on the seas, and then stop, have dinner somewhere. And, yeah, it's kind of my first time doing, like, being the only one on there to be a stew as well. So I'm pretty much on Pinterest 24/7 learning how to fold toilet paper. I just went and bought a bunch of flowers, so I have no idea how I'm putting those together tomorrow. So yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a challenge, but I mean, I think I got it.
Aw, I'm just so happy to hear you're going into the stewardess world. And if you have any questions, you know, you can text me anytime, but I think you got this, because for as sporty as you are and as good as you are on deck, you also have a really girly side. I think a lot of people would be surprised to know. For example, your sewing machine that you own and you use often. Secondly, didn't you once have like a cupcake decorating business kind of deal, or at least very strong hobby?
I would say a little bit of each, a very strong hobby. I still get bored. If I have a day off and it's raining, I'm either going to go to, basically my paychecks go straight to Lowe's 24/7 because that's where I go.
What do you like to buy at Lowe's?
Everything, whatever I want to build. So cupcakes was like kind of my last year project. This year I'm learning how to build shelves, and I fixed my sawhorse. I replaced that wood because somebody accidentally snapped it, putting too much weight on it. So now I'm into building right now.
Somebody snapped your sawhorse. How dare they?
I know.
Are sawhorses expensive? I mean, it was worth it to repair it than to just not get another sawhorse.
No, I probably could have bought one for cheaper and easier.
Okay, that's no offense. I just kind of thought that. I'm not real crafty or handy. Huh.
Yeah, no, I bought this one from a friend at a garage sale, but never gave him the money anyways, so.
Well, actually, it was free.
Yeah.
Okay, can't beat that. Can't beat free.
No.
Okay, so you kind of do it all. You build, you decorate cupcakes, you know how to sew, you're a deckhand, and now you're becoming a stewardess. And you guys are going out around the ocean down south to Port Lauderdale, or are you going to stay in the intercoastal?
No, I think we're actually going to go in the ocean the whole way. I'm not really sure. I'm actually looking at the seas as we speak right now, and it doesn't look too favorable. But as you know, the further south you go, it usually calms down a bit from what it'll be up here. Well, I'm hoping.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, Connie and I actually grew up in the same hometown, and that's where we both are now. And so she'll be leaving out of Port Canaveral, which is, I don't go up there often, but you seem to go up there quite a bit because you kind of have a little boat business-ish.
I do. There's a couple of marinas up there, but there's one that's really nice, and he's really trying to bring a lot bigger boats there. It's the only place that actually has like floating docks, and it can handle like a 15-foot storm surge. So it's kind of intriguing for other people that they want to come, and they can pretty much pay a quarter of the price or what they're going to pay in West Palm, but still get the same services and their boat will be safe. And I think we can fit like up to 100 something foot boats there. So it's kind of.
Oh, wow. So it's not just the port. There's a marina, because I did hear once that usually Port Canaveral has is big, 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 big boats, like the cruise ships. But somebody told me that a very large yacht was docked there called Le Grand Bleu because it was almost the size of a cruise ship. So that's where it went. But that'd be nice to have possibly a marina that would be attractive to yacht owners.
Yeah, that's what it is. But it's also the only place that doesn't have a bridge to come under. So like the bigger boats can't make it through Sebastian because there's the bridge and the catwalk. And then even once you get in there, you have all the other causeways.
Right.
You can actually get in and your boat will be safe and you're not clearing any bridges. So it's kind of a good place to go. I don't like the drive, but for being able to still work on yachts and such and go home at night, gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, it's kind of the dream. Good job. Good for you. All right. So are you going to be working at the Port Lauderdale boat show?
I am not. The boat is for sale and it's staying a couple miles down. So we're actually just dropping it off, making it look pretty. And I have a boat to polish, actually a sailboat. And I've never even touched a sailboat. I have to polish a sailboat on Thursday back at the port. So I'll be heading right back.
Oh, wow. You're busy. So besides, building up this at home yacht lifestyle, what have you been up to here at home? You just got a house, right? And that's probably why you are spending all your time at Lowe's, I'd imagine.
Just about all I do now, but I like it. It's not like, I mean, I do it because I want it to look nice, but also because I actually enjoy doing it. And I tell my boyfriend all the time, as long as whatever I do is under $1,000 to fix, I'm allowed to give it a try. Anything over that, I have to hire someone.
Okay, so let's run through. I know your bathroom you did, right? I came over to your house that one time, like, but in July, so a couple months ago, and it looked beautiful, and you had only been in there a couple months, and you told me that you did the floors of the bathroom yourself. Is that right?
Well, what happened was I bought all this stuff, and my handyman didn't text me back within 5 minutes, and that's way more than enough to wait for me to learn how to do it on YouTube, and now I have new bathroom floors.
Well, what else have you done?
I don't even know what I do. I did a lot of painting in the house. I made a ton of shelves. There's probably shelves on top of shelves at this point because I can't stop making them. I'm actually framing out the bathroom mirror right now. And then I also just got paint to paint the tub and the sink.
Whoa. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, you probably can't.
Oh, right. But you're going to give it a shot. So what kind of projects, and your boyfriend is so sweet. I love you two together. He's very supportive of you, which is good because you are kind of crazy and kooky. And I think that's what I love about you two the most. Like, he lets you be crazy, kooky Connie, kind of sits back and he appreciates it from a distance without like trying to rein you in or anything. But what are some of the projects he said, you know, Connie, I think we might want to call in a professional for this one.
Well, We just did get an estimate. We're getting the outside of our house painted. And as much as you would think I would like this, I would have done it, but he's not letting me do that. That's a bigger project, apparently, than he'll let me do. But the back of the house is actually camouflage because the people who sold it before or had it, and they basically painted until it ran out of paint and then just called it a day. So the front of the house looks great, but the back is camouflage. So you would think I'd love a camo house, but I actually do want my house to be one color.
What color are you guys going to paint your house?
It's a little bit of a light gray with a dovetail accent.
My next question, what's the accent color going to be? Oh, wow. Well, I love your house. Did you ever decide about that back fence around your pool? Is it staying or going?
I think it's going. But I just have to wake up one morning and not stand to look at it. And just, I'm not sure if I have to take a chainsaw to it or if you like dig it out. I'm not really sure.
I think it's a digging. I think it's a pulling action. And you know what? If you want to invite me over one day, we'll have daiquiris by your pool. I think we should have a few daiquiris and then decide to take that little fence out.
I think so.
Okay, great. I will work for daiquiris.
I like that.
Okay, now, have you been watching any of the seasons of Below Deck since you left?
I have watched, as long as I had a TV of wherever we were on a boat, I've actually watched just about every single episode of every Below Deck since I've been gone. And I was so intrigued at first with how much effort is put into making the show. Watched all of them because I was like obsessed. Well, like, you don't know how much gets put into making the show. And then obviously you start watching it and you get sucked in and you want to know what's going to happen and who's going to bang who. And I mean, it's all the drama.
Okay. So what do you think of the season so far, the deck crew so far? We've got Nico was lead deckhand. We had no bosun. And then we had Baker, Bruno, and Chris, who were all extremely green. Now, quite frankly, you were green when you started, but I think that you were the better deckhand than pretty much everyone on our deck crew this season, even at your greenest. What do you think of the green deck crew this year?
Well, I don't know if I can see past Bruno's abs, but he actually seems very sweet. And then I'm very glad to see that Chris is no longer with you guys. I was texting with Captain Lee one night watching it. I texted him. I was like, I don't know how you dealt with him on the boat. I'm like, I'm laying in my bed comfortably watching this and I'm still annoyed.
That's hilarious. Captain loves you.
He's the greatest. Him and his wife have to be like the nicest people. And I love that the girl is the one who... Baker, I think, right? Baker, everybody keeps saying like, yeah, she's got the most potential. I'm like, yes, she does.
Yeah, so, Baker is great. Baker is... Actually, I think you guys would love get along very well because she is a girly girl, but she's also like not. Like she has an RV. She loves to have a good time. She loves to... I think she even said she wanted to start like a tutu boat cleaning business or something. And I was like, no way. That's exactly what Connie once said.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you guys would get along very well. Yeah, Baker is great. And then we had EJ, the new bosun, come in. Did you see that episode?
Yeah, I did. He seems very sweet. He's a little interesting when he talks.
Yeah.
Like, what does he always say? Like, cool bananas or
bananas? I actually like cool bananas better. It's cool beans.
Cool beans, yeah. I'm like, this is not very... professionally sounds just kind of young. He seems like he knows what he's doing. He seems like a great guy to work for, but just I'm not a fan of listening to him talk.
Same. Yeah, he seems nice. He seems like he knows what he's doing, but it's like he's trying so hard and like he got all of his conversational skills from 90s movies. Like he's trying so hard to be cool, but he just like studied the wrong stuff.
Yeah. And people from Canada talk different, and I'm sure they say the same about us. They probably...
I don't think there's any Canadians, you know, sitting around watching an American TV show saying, hey, I don't think these Americans talking are very hip and happening.
Yeah.
No, I don't think any Canadians are thinking we're the dorks around here.
No, I don't
either. I just don't think that's happening. But they are sweet. They might be... They probably think we're a bunch of assholes, but I don't think they think we're uncool. So a lot of people don't know this about you. This is a Below Deck fun fact. So ideally, all the cast members on Below Deck will have had a little bit of yachting experience or come from the yachting world. so yacht in first and then below deck. But you had no experience at all in yachting. Your first yacht you ever worked on was on below deck on camera, but the first mate and the rest of the crew from Motor Yacht Eros that we used were so impressed with how good you were on deck that they actually kept you on the boat after the production and after we all left. We all wrapped filming, went home, and you stayed, right?
Yeah, I had told my family, hey, I'll be gone for 6 weeks. I'll see you guys in a little bit. And next thing I know, I was making a phone call and I was like, I'll see you guys in like a year and a half. So, yeah.
How long did you stay?
I stayed for probably an extra year after.
Oh my gosh.
After that, I loved it. But I think the 4 weeks in Ibiza kind of got to me because I finally was like, you guys just leave me here. And I booked a ticket and grabbed my surfboard and went to California for 12 hours, came home and started my little personal detailing business.
I mean, you are definitely the only person in the history of yachting that went from below deck to real yachting rather than vice versa. So congratulations there. And I get it. I mean, by the time we're done shooting a season, I am so ready to go home. So the fact that, I mean, there's a high compliment that the first mate and the rest of the crew wanted you to stay on board, but I'm not sure I would have taken more than just the compliment, but you did. You stayed. And you stayed for a while. You did a Caribbean season, right? The rest of the Caribbean season. And then you crossed the Atlantic Ocean.
I did that. We did, it actually ended up, I really liked the crew. The crew was really hesitant towards me at first. Like, wait, you just did a TV show and now you think you're going to come work on this boat and do this. But I'm like, I'm willing to like put up with your crap until you guys, I can like basically prove to you that I'm like here for real. And it's just not something that I've wanted to do. And it looks cool. I said, I explained to him. I was like, I truly want to do this. And to be honest, I keep in touch with every single crew member still. We're in like group texts and we'll send things. Like some of the guys are in Palma right now, so I got some messages from our favorite mojito bar.
Oh, I love Palma.
I know. And Italy, I got to spend a lot of time in Italy, which I loved. Like everybody says, is real yachting the same as it is on TV? The things that you do, I'm like, I would set up my phone to like secretly video because it's not even explainable. I mean, one of my jobs, to be honest, was wrap a prosthetic in cellophane and put it in a trash bag and swim it up to the nude beach in Ibiza. And so the gentleman could crawl up and then you'd hold the leg up and he would jump in it and then you'd swim back to the boat.
Wait, like, why didn't he just wear his limb the whole time?
Because he couldn't get it wet. It was like the fabric kind.
Oh my gosh. Wait, he wasn't the yacht owner then?
No, he was just, these guys chartered the boat for 4 weeks and it was 8 men and they had to be some of the funniest guests I've ever met, but they didn't really speak English, but they were very nice.
You needed to bring him his non-swimming leg
to the nude beach.
You know what? That's a really, really funny, good, interesting, like weirdest charter experience.
Mm-hmm.
I might borrow that one from you because when I get interviewed sometimes, like, what's the craziest thing like that any guest has ever requested from you? And I'm usually like, besides prostitutes, is that weird? That just feels normal on yacht charters.
Yeah, I also became their tender driver and they actually had 4 guys that would switch out every week. So I'd go back to the dock and I'd be sitting there waiting and I would see these guys coming down the dock. They were so good looking and these gentlemen just had them come for 1 week at a time. They would, they were basically paid to work out all day and take their shirts off. And I had never seen anything like this before.
Oh my gosh, we should give them Bruno's number.
He would be perfect. He would have been so perfect for it. They probably would have paid him and said, I don't even want to know what they were paying these guys to work out. I didn't mind it. But it was funny. Like the girls would play jokes on us. Like they'd be like, Connie, can you go up to the sun deck and grab this? Yep, not a problem. I'd get up there. They'd be watching on the cameras and it'd be all 4 of them, shirts off, working out. And I'm like, damn it, guys. Funny.
That is hilarious. Wow, but yeah, and definitely probably Bruno's calling because I wouldn't say that it's being a deckhand. Speaking of deckhands, if you had to build your dream deck crew from below deck cast members that either you've worked with or you've watched, would you want on your deck team?
Wow, there's been a lot. There's been a lot of people sent home. I got to meet Nico last year, actually, down at the boat show. We were walking. It was kind of funny. We walked by each other, and at the same time, we were both like, hey, I know you, but clearly had never met before, but just kind of knew each other from watching each other's seasons. So I actually, I enjoyed Nico. I think he would be a fun guy to work with. Who else?
You never got to talk with Kelly, did you?
No, I like FaceTimed with him with Amy, and I've heard nothing but good things about him, and he's obviously very nice to look at too. I think, yeah, Nico and Kelly would both be a lot of fun to be out there. I'm not sure. Oh, and Eddie. He was great.
I loved working with Eddie.
I loved working with Eddie. Eddie and Captain Lee had to be the two most amazing people to work for.
Oh, that's so good to hear. Because I know that at the end of the season with Eddie, I really love Eddie. But then when I found out about the whole Rocky thing, I was like, I don't even know who you are anymore. But I still love Eddie.
But also, it's the end of the season. You don't, like, you're annoyed no matter what somebody does, you know?
Yeah, and I don't blame him. I mean, I don't think he wanted to, like, sail off into the set with Rocky as his, like, soulmate.
I think that would be my dream deck crew to work with.
I think that's a really good choice. I think that would be my dream deck crew to work with. Okay. Would you ever come back and work for Captain Lee again just for 6 weeks?
Oh my gosh, yes. I would do anything to work for Captain Lee again. I don't care if it was for 6 months. If he was like, kiddo, we're gone, I'm like, let's go. Where am I coming to? I love him. He was the absolute best.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. It does sound just like him. Kiddo, I need you. 6 months. He, you know, every time anybody brings you up or we're talking about deck stuff, he always asks about you. And I think him and I had a conversation in the wheelhouse this season when we saw how green our deck crew was. Like, somebody call Connie. But I wish it had worked out that way.
Yeah, but he's like, even more than being an awesome boss, he's just somebody that you can like trust and look up to. Like when I was going through trying to figure out if I should take this job or not at the port of working up there in this marina and what it would entail and expect. And I was like, I honestly just like want to call Captain Lee right now and be like, can you just lead me in the right direction? Like just do some, like help me a little bit, like just give me some words of advice. But our talk with the owner ended up coming a little bit sooner than I got a chance to call him. So I just kind of winged it. But yeah, he's just someone that I would feel comfortable calling, like, hey, help me out with this.
I think you're completely right. He always does give really good advice. And it's not even like in a preachy way or like it's like a friendly way. And it makes me consider things that I wouldn't have thought about. Like, I wouldn't have thought about it that way. And I'm like, well, once you put it that way, that does make a lot more sense.
And if he thinks you shouldn't do it, he's going to tell you.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of I was thinking about last night because I saw you last night at the Genesis House Gala, and I was trying to give you a little advice on how to be a stewardess and about floral arranging and the three Fs.
Oh, yes. That's what it is. It's flowers.
Flowers should be an obvious one. You got to have the flowers, but I don't think that's one. So it's focal. You have one thing, one plant, one flower. That's the focal point. Then you have filler, which is the second F, which is like smaller leafy, you know, filler flowers. And then I can never remember the third F. And I think you're right. It's just do it.
Yeah. We actually just went to Publix just now and got the flowers. So I'll be sure to send you pictures and no judging.
Send me photos, please. I want to see photos of your blanket folds. I want to see photos of your toilet paper folds. And I want to see photos of your flowers.
Oh, you'll get them. You will absolutely get them.
Cool. All right. Well, so what else have you been up to this year or since you left yachting, real yachting? Have you been traveling at all? Well, I mean, you've done a lot. You pretty much built yourself a mini yachting empire here in our hometown, one. You bought a house, two. You installed the bathroom floor and built all the shelves, but still traveling a little bit? Or
I actually am really fortunate and have a really good life right now with him having a somewhat free schedule when he needs it and me being able to schedule boats kind of when I want to or need to or whatnot. So we kind of have the freedom, and we have a little yellow post-it note and we just put different places on it. And as soon as we cross one off, we add another. So we've been doing a lot of diving trips to the Bahamas, just all free diving ones. And it takes us about 8 hours to get to where we like to dive. And then we're going to Vegas next weekend. Going somewhere to watch a Dallas Cowboys game. I'm not sure where yet. So yeah, it's kind of nice that we're able to pick a different place. And I was actually supposed to be in Puerto Rico. I was leaving October 10th to do the Corona Surf Contest there last weekend. Obviously, that didn't happen, which is unfortunate. So hopefully they'll have their island back together and I can do the one down there in February instead.
It's crazy.
It's sad.
It's really sad.
It's really bad right down there right now. But somebody posted, which I thought was really awesome. And he just, Josie Graves, he's lived down there. He's from there. Lived there his whole life. But he posted the other day, thank you so much. If you guys truly want to help us, come down here in a few months and support our area. Like
the economy.
Yeah. Just support us, basically.
Yeah.
Like, it's nice that they're sending the water filters, but what's really going to get them back on their feet is when the island's up and going again. Book your ticket there. Go fishing. Go surfing.
Yeah. Make a trip there.
Exactly.
I do have one question. Where's this yellow Post-it? This sounds like the magical yellow Post-it. Where do you put it? In the kitchen? By the coffee machine?
No, he actually has it at his desk at work. And he came up with it and kind of didn't tell me about it. And now all of a sudden... I got a picture of it one day and I was like, that's a really good idea. So now I'm like, send me the picture. I need to know where else we're going.
Now, are there multiple locations on one Post-it or is it one location on a Post-it and then you rip it off and start a new Post-it?
Nope. Multiple locations. Like, I know we're hopefully going to the Exumas sometime by the end of the year to go stay with one of my friends down there. Both of us like to free dive. That's our thing. I want to fish. I want to dive and I want to golf and that's pretty much it. So no matter what we do is going to be sports oriented, I guess you could say.
Well, no wonder you guys are so cute together. You're the perfect girlfriend. All you want to do is fish, dive and golf and then sew and rebuild the bathroom and making cupcakes.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm a little bit more difficult than I'm making it sound, but
I don't know. As an outsider looking in, you're looking pretty good there, Connie.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's so funny. It's like when you say opposites attract, that's what it is, but we're actually exactly the same with everything we like to do. But when we go somewhere, you'll probably hear maybe 5 words from him. And I'm over taking my clothes off, jumping off the boat, doing my own thing. And he's just changing the music station like, oh, everything's wonderful.
Yeah, I've seen it and I love it. It's adorable. That's a really good way to describe it. Well, I know you've got to wake up early tomorrow for your big boat trip down south. Definitely text me photos of all of your stewardess duties. So I can't wait to see how they turned out. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you very much. This is awesome. I love everything that you're doing with all this.
All this below deck, after deck.
Yeah, I think it's awesome you're doing that. And you still have the time to do your boutique that I can't wait to come by, I think. And the event last night was incredible. I've never seen that place look that nice.
Oh my gosh, you're right. Thank you for saying that. It did look really good, didn't it?
Really did. Everything was good. And hopefully you guys raised a lot of money because I know it's a good cause. So yes.
Yes, all good things.
Yes. Well, thank you. And I will talk to you soon.
Okay, so like you guys know, every week on After Deck, we have a dinghy of the week and a yachty of the week. According to our polls on Twitter at After Deck Tweets, for dinghy of the week, coming in at 37%, we have Nico, followed closely by Chef Matt at 30%. And I feel it's fair to say that EJ was at 24%, so Nico... You know, you're in fair company here, but you did take home the dinghy of the week. And I can see that. I think that we should all consider emotions are running high for Nico at this time of his life. And yeah, he didn't handle it the best this week, but I think it was just an emotional response. And I'm not too worried about him. Now for Yachty of the Week, you guys voted. And Baker's at 36%, but Baker wins every week. So coming in at 38% with your votes, it's Bruno. And I'm going to agree with you guys. I'm not sure how the dessert would have gone with the Tuies, the Blindside family, had Bruno not stepped in and helped Matt with his balls. And it was so darling to see them working together. The way that Bruno took his time and carefully and thoughtfully and slowly was cupping Matt's balls, the cheesecake balls, I could tell that he was really putting a lot more into it than just any sous chef. It was like he loved those balls. And I think it showed. Now, for my dinghy of the week, I'm going to go ahead and say Jen, because I don't mind that she dressed like what she thought was a cheerleader and thought that she's taking initiative or trying to be a team player. But here's the thing, guys. I've been working with Jen at this point for a few weeks. I know her personality. if she had really thought it was such a great idea, she would have told me in advance. I think she knew that I would say that I did not love that idea, and she wanted to do it anyways. That's why she packed her secret cheerleading, non-cheerleading uniform outfit in a bag and changed on the beach. I don't mind taking initiative. And if she had asked me, maybe I could have found a way to help her look more like a cheerleader, and that would have been great. Everybody would have won. But she's the dinghy of the week because she was sneaky about it. And that's what the real problem for me was. So sorry, Jen, that's my dinghy of the week. Goes to you. And my yachty of the week goes to, I'm going to say me just this one time. Because when the Tuies wanted vanilla ice cream, I stepped in. I said, let's get out the KitchenAid. Let's make some vanilla cream and make it close enough. What we needed was a white, creamy, vanilla something to put on this Bananas Foster. And Matt at that point was like, mint chocolate chip or nothing. So I'm going to give myself yachty of the week because I'm not a chef. I can't even smell. I'm the last person that should be allowed in a galley. But because it's my podcast, I guess I shouldn't give myself the yard of the week. So I will give it to Bruno because, like I said, he really did take some extra loving care in preparing Matt's balls. And I think that you could see the happiness all over everyone's faces after Bruno did that. So thank you, Bruno. I know Matt enjoyed it. Okay, so now I'm going to answer a few questions from viewers and listeners that I got on social media, either at After Deck Tweets or After Deck Insta. This one is from at, It's funny. How many charters do you typically do in a year, and can you work as much or as little as you want? That's a great question, especially if you just listen to Connie and I's conversation. Technically, generally, when you start yachting, you have to stay on your first boat for a year because after that, captains don't really want to hire people who don't prove longevity because there's a lot of people in yachting who are just treating this like a backpacking travel opportunity, and we can't have that because I think as you see this season on Below Deck, if you are getting people who are just in the industry for a free trip around the world, then they end up not caring about their job, quitting, getting fired, and we need people who are serious about yachting as a career. Now, that being said, once you have an ample amount of experience under your belt, this is what I did. I stayed on my first boat for a year, and then I stayed in another boat for about 6 months just to prove that, like, I'm not just some hippie, traveling, backpacking, hostel-loving, you know, free rider. And then I was able to do freelance, which is kind of living the dream. You have to be available at the moment's notice, but you don't get stuck on a boat so long that you hate it. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel. You get paid more because you're not getting the perks of a year-round salary and benefits. So you get paid more and you have a lot more freedom. So you might work for 2 weeks and then you take a month off. And then you might work for 2 months and then you take a month off. It was a really fun time of my life to do freelance. As it stands, I only work for Captain Lee. He spoiled me to the point where I don't want to work for any other captain. And also, I'm trying to phase yachting out of my life a little bit. But I still always appreciate the opportunity to go away for 6 weeks to a beautiful location, work with somebody I'm familiar with, get away from reality for a little bit, make a lot of money. It's kind of the perfect balance for me. I'm very fortunate. The next question we've got, this is from Twitter. Her name's Sally at Sally Sco. Did I ever say what my favorite pasta shape was? My favorite pasta shape is mini shells because they nest. Sometimes they like nest in two and one together, like they're hugging. They hold sauce. I like the texture on the outside of them and they're really great pasta shape to theme out. Like if you're doing a lobster mac and cheese, mini shells, perfect. And then not only do they hold the sauce and nest, but if they do two little nests together, it's like surprise, you get a bonus shell in your mouth you weren't expecting, and maybe it's a little bit al dente. So you're kind of getting the best of all worlds. And I'm from Florida, so I like shells. Good question, Sally Sco. And from Twitter, from Vanessa Montiero at Vanessa Montiero. Would I ever consider Chris Brown on my stew team? And do males get to do that? You know, I have wanted a fabulous male steward on my interior team forever. Maybe next time I'll have to call Captain Lee and see what he thinks about this. But I haven't had one. But I think it would be great. I can actually think of a few people that I would nominate. As far as Chris Brown being on my stewardess team, yes, I think I could have him on my stewardess team, although I'm not sure it would be my first pick, and I don't think it would be his first pick for a job. Bruno, I thought, actually should have applied to be on the interior team rather than the exterior, because over the course of the season, he sure did have a lot of opinions about how I should run my interior. It seemed like he really has a passionate interest in how the interiors run. So maybe Bruno could be a good stewardess, but I don't think I would hire him myself. I would love to have a sassy steward. So we'll just see if that happens next time I work for Captain Lee. Fingers crossed. Thank you so much, you guys, for listening to this week's After Deck. I'll talk to y'all next week. And in the meantime, share your questions with us at After Deck Tweets on Twitter and on at After Deck Insta on Instagram. I love hearing from you. And who knows, maybe you'll hear your question answered on next week's episode. And don't forget to vote in our poll on Twitter at After Deck Tweets for your pick of Yachty and Dinghy of the Week. Tune in Tuesday nights at 9/8 Central for a new episode of Below Deck on Bravo TV. Hope y'all have a wonderful weekend.
You are now listening to the After Deck.